start.
Okay.
All right. My pleasure to call this meeting to order of the Ethics Commission. We're going to start with the pledge. Please stand. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. And Ms. Miller, do you have an ethics thought for us?
I do. I have two thoughts.
Let's hear them.
Yes. Just for the new members, we always have an ethics thought. If anybody has a great ethics thought that you'd like to share with the group, you can always email it to me. I'm running out of them after 7 years. These are the two for tonight. The first is, great things are not done by impulse, but a series of small things brought together. Vincent van Gogh. Oh, that was interesting.
Good.
And the next one, Albert Einstein. Logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. Ooh. So I'm hoping for lots of imagination and great things this year. That's what made me think of those quotes.
I like both of those. And so we're going to move on to minutes approval. You'll see that some of these happen, are sort of all over the place. Being the first meeting of the year, wanted to make sure we were on a clean slate, that we go through and approve the minutes for all the outstanding committees. Some of the committees haven't met in a while, and that's why you're seeing some minutes that are out of date. And it's probably a good time to talk about the state statute on voting. And so the fact that you weren't at the meeting is not grounds to abstain from a vote. And actually, you're not allowed to abstain from a vote on that ground. And so you have to either vote against it or trust the commission members that were there and vote for it. So we'll start with that. First, is there, has everybody had a chance to review these? Anybody use your time? I think there was one slightly revised set that was in the packet. If you haven't seen it and you want to, they can pass it around. So with that said, is there a motion on the January 9th, 2019 Ethics Commission minutes?
I move to approve the January 9th, 2019 Ethics Commission minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Those minutes pass unanimously, or approved unanimously. Move on to the December 5th, 2018 Complaints Committee minutes.
Mr.
Yes, ma'am.
You want public comment?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
You don't get public comment.
No, 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 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just saying.
No, that's okay.
Okay,
we move on to the December 5th, 2018 Complaints Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion on those?
Oh, okay.
I move to approve said minutes.
Okay. There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Ms. Counter has a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Right, those minutes are approved unanimously. We'll move on to the October 22nd, 2018 Ethics Commission minutes. Is there a motion on those minutes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? October 22nd, 2018. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Those minutes are approved unanimously. We'll move on to the November 5th, 2018 Commission Ethics Commission meeting minutes.
So moved.
Move to approve?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, that's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion for November 5th, 2018? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Those are approved unanimously. Move on to the July 10th, 2018 Legislative Committee minutes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
So there's a correction in those minutes. You have Tanisha McGuimi as a member of the public when she was an intern from the mayor's and finance department. So that's the only part that I had that needed to be corrected in the July 10th minutes.
Okay, I see her. And where was she an intern?
Intern for the mayor's office in the finance department.
Excellent.
Yeah, so she was not a member of the public.
Okay.
She's actually intern employee paid.
Is there already a motion that I already answered?
No, there's no motion.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve the July 10th, 2018 minutes as with Ms. Pollack's amendment?
Second.
Okay, Ms. Gowder, is there a second?
Second.
Candler, and is there any discussion on those minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? July 10th, 2018 Legislative Committee minutes are approved unanimously. We'll move on to the October 29th, 2018 Legislative Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion on those minutes?
I move to accept the minutes of October 29th, 2018 Legislative Committee as submitted.
Okay, so that's a motion to approve?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's moved and seconded. Is there any discussion about the October 29th, 2018 Legislative minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Hearing none, those minutes are approved unanimously. We'll move on to two. These committees did not meet last year. They should have, and they will this year. But first, we'll talk about the May 17th, 2017 Internal Operations Committee meeting minutes. And these ones had some minor revisions. I went back and listened to the tape on this one, and I think Ms. Schmidt is the only one left who is actually there.
Okay.
So is there a motion to approve those minutes as amended?
I will take that one. I'll move to approve those minutes as amended, May 17, 2017.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? Those minutes are approved unanimously. And the last one are the February 27, 2017 Open Government Committee meeting minutes. There is nobody left on the commission who attended that meeting, but I listened to the audio and I can represent to you that I believe these minutes are accurate. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Okay, there's a motion by Dr. Canner. Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second that.
By Ms. Schmidt. And any discussion about those minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And are there any opposed? Hearing none, those minutes are approved unanimously. Okay. Thank you for helping me get through all of those so we can start my term on a clean slate and our minutes will be approved timely going forward. That brings us to reports, first from ECHO, which for the new people is the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight. Any report?
Thank you. First of all, when we do board training with all the boards and commissions in the city, we go over Robert's Rules of Procedure. So now that you've approved all of those minutes, that was your exercise and your drill on Robert's Rules of Procedure. You passed it well. You know how to make motions and get them passed. Just three things. We focused in December basically on getting all of our legislation through, and I'm happy to say it all passed City Council unanimously, and it simplified a lot of parts of our ethics code that made no sense to a lot of employees and to some of us on staff. So now we have a very clean gift law and conflict law. Doesn't mean our work is done in that area, but that was a big thing, and it passed the first week of January. So I'm pleased about that. And now next week, we're rolling it out to all the departments in the city. And if you recall from the gift legislation, we have the $100 limit, just like at the state, but we allow every department to come up with more restrictive rules. So we're going to go department by department and figure out what their risks are and come up with rules for each of the departments in the city and the independent authorities. That should be very interesting. So that was the first thing. The second thing is there is a national organization called the Ethics Compliance Institute, and Kirby is going to be going to their national conference in a few months, and she's studying very hard the next 2 months to become an certified ethics professional. So, you know, congratulations in advance, because I know you'll pass. So that's the second big thrust from the office. And third, we have a huge emphasis right now on training citywide. I mean, we're getting one request after another. I don't know why there's such an increase in that. I hope the word's out that, you know, we have a fun time training. But we just did the City Council President's new task force on crime and safety, the Kids Hope Alliance, KHA, the CPACs, all the CPACs of the city, the neighborhood groups. We trained all their chairmen.
Housing Authority.
The Housing Authority.
And
that's all, yeah, Health Planning Council. So that's only in the first 3 weeks of this year. And the really big thing that we have to keep from our office's standpoint focused on, as you know, the elections are coming up in several weeks, and we'll have at least 10 new city council people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have some that have been in for 8 years now, and they're really trained on all the ethics rules. We're going to get in a whole bunch of people that don't know any of that. So we have our training in June, and we always have the Ethics Commission come to that training in June. Mm-hmm. And and we have you stand up, and we announce everybody, and we get all of the newly elected officials in the city, and we make sure that they're on board with all the ethics rules. That's only 4 months away, so that's a huge thrust of the office to kind of get everyone up to speed. So those are the things that we're focused on for January.
Thank you, and I just wanted to reiterate for those of you who haven't heard, those two changes to the two legislation, one of them was really sponsored by the ECHO office, and it was throwing out and rewriting the gift laws to make them make more sense, I think. And that effort, I thought, was really good. It will result going forward in each department having to submit a policy, and that policy has to be approved by ECHO and OGC, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that happens, a first violation of the policy can be handled as an HR matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequent violations are referred automatically to us. And so what I think the hope was from ECHO and certainly from me when I supported it was that with more ownership from the departments, they would be more willing to follow these rules since they wrote them, and they get to handle the first alleged violation of them anyway. So I really thought that was a great job by the ECHO office and by the Office of General Counsel, both on that and our legislation that we sent through the Office of General Counsel was really instrumental in helping us get that through not only counsel, but all the amazing number of stakeholders around the city that have to provide input. And so I certainly underestimated how difficult that was going to be. And then you realize that every department this touches wants to provide input. And so Ms. Pollack was instrumental in helping us get all that done.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to the OGC report.
Yes. As you know, Mr. Chairman, this opinion that I wrote with my deputy, Mr. Jason Teal, I drafted this opinion in response to a question that came out of the Complaints Committee? It was either the Complaints or Legislative Committee. The issue was whether or not the lobbying penalties in Chapter 8 or Section 8 of 602 could also be enforced under Chapter 11, which is more general. And so the answer was essentially yes, with the caveat that you can enforce Chapter 8 from Section 11. However, you cannot issue or impose a penalty from both sections, so that there would be a $500 penalty from Section 8 and then a $500 penalty from Section 11. So that would be prohibited. However, you can impose a $500 penalty from Chapter 8 separately, that by itself, and nothing further from that. Or you can impose it from Chapter 11.
Chapter 11 is the quasi-criminal part, right?
Yes. It's more general quasi-criminal, and I did cite that in my opinion.
Wait, is 11 ours?
Yes.
And 8 is the state attorney's provision,
is
that right?
Yes.
Okay.
11 is ours, yes, and that speaks to, and I talked about how it speaks to more broader authorities, and it was intended to be applied to the entirety of Chapter 602, where Part 8 is simply for lobbyists, and you know, again, your question was whether or not you could apply Part 11 to Part 8, and the answer again is yes. And I can go on a little bit more if you like, but I did not make copies for everyone, so I could bring back copies or just email it to the whole group.
You
already sent it to them? No,
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So for the benefit of our newer members who may not have these parts and numbers memorized yet, there's a section of the ethics code that allows the commission to impose the penalties that we can impose, the civil penalties that we have authority to impose, on violations of the code. And then there are certain code provisions, like the lobbying restrictions, that have separate penalty provisions. And some of those are quasi-criminal in nature, and they're intended to be prosecuted by the state attorney's office. So the question was,
ordinance violations?
Right. And so the question there is, are those supposed to be exclusive for those violations, or can we prosecute those as ethics offenses under our civil penalty provisions? And the answer we have from the general counsel office is that
mm-hmm.
we can.
Yes.
I don't know that. So we could prosecute lobbying restrictions under our penalty provisions.
Right.
I think the caveat is if the state attorney's office actually takes the case.
Yes.
We probably shouldn't both prosecute.
Right. Definitely.
And actually, there's a separate provision that says if the state attorney's office is prosecuting
something,
we have to stay our case.
Yes. Yeah. And I did provide some case law to pretty much talk about statutory construction, and we need to read them all as a whole and not try to parse them out as we're reading the code. So.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions or any discussion about either of those department reports? Okay. So, was that it, Ms. Collins?
Yeah, and again, I just wanted to make sure, Kirby, are you going to get a copy to everybody, or do you want me to just go ahead? I can go ahead and email a copy to everyone.
Okay.
I can just email.
Yeah,
I'll email it everybody. Put a note here. Email.
All right, so we'll move on to committee assignments and structure. The first thing I wanted to go over with this, I passed out section 1.202, and there are copies of this at the front, too. And this is the charter provision that applies to the Ethics Commission. The intro part of the paragraph, you should read. It's interesting. It just talks about the breadth of the commission's intended jurisdiction in the charter. But going down to these lettered paragraphs, I think it's worth reviewing these every year, and I know Mr. Auld did so last year, and I thought it was a good exercise, just to remember what it is we are actually tasked with doing here at this commission. Sometimes, in only the couple years I've been here, we get off task and distracted by things that are just interesting, but we, under the charter and under the code, are directed to do certain things. And so this tells us what those things are. We manage a hotline for the intake of ethics violations. That's maintained by the ethics office, and it's managed through the complaints committee who runs that. If you haven't had a chance to read the complaint procedures yet, you should. We have a bifurcated complaints process, so our complaints committee acts, if you're familiar with the JQC process, is like the investigative panel. They're the prosecutorial arm. And then the rest of the commission acts as the hearing panel, or sort of the adjudicatory arm. And so that's how we process. We process hotline tips as if they were complaints for the most part. We are to manage and coordinate training and education of local officers and employees. That's done with the Open Government Committee. And so that committee doesn't have a ton to do, but they help provide input to the training that the ethics office creates. As just a slight historic note, this was put in here, and the ethics commission's role in this was much more active before we had a 4-member ethics office. Mm-hmm. At the time when this was created, I think it was a half unpaid person in the ethics office. A full person who was getting paid half the time.
Whatever, yeah. It was put in there when we actually ran the training through the Ethics Commission, and now it's really a staff function at this point.
Right.
But with all the varied expertise of the group, George being a professor at UNF, and you're certified. We've got like a lot of expertise in this group that we've gotten good tips on the training. But you don't have to worry about actually coming up with it and standing in front of the city council conducting it. We'll be doing that.
Yeah. But those committee members and any of the commission members are the ethics office always invites us and encourages us to participate. So if you want to go, just let them know and they will keep you invited. We have the authority to refer ethics matters to other enforcement agencies. Most often, that's the state, the Florida Commission on Ethics. Occasionally, it could be the Elections Commission or the local elections office or the state attorney's office. Actually, most often, it's the Inspector General's office. I'll look that up. And then second, the Florida Commission on Ethics. That's done through the Complaints Committee. Then we recommend changes in legislation in the areas of ethics laws and administration, conflicts of interest, hotline policies, ethics education, ethics and procurement, campaign ethics, and lobbying. So there's a set specific things, topics, that we are supposed to recommend when we come to legislation. That's done through the legislative committee, if that wasn't self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
We have the jurisdiction to levy certain civil fines. Those are in the code. That's done by the complaints. Actually, that's done ultimately by the full commission reviewing the complaints committee's initial work. And last, acting as the hiring committee for the administrative staff of ECHO. And what that is we are the hiring committee for the executive director of the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight. That position currently is held by Carla Miller, of course. And are you a year into your 3-year contract now?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what we're supposed to be doing here. There's lots of other interesting stuff that comes up and that we review, but like Mr. All went over this last year. I thought it was a good idea to remind ourselves of what we're actually supposed to be doing here. So The other thing I want to say before we go into the specific, you should have your committee assignments now. They were with the agenda. I reviewed the preferences that everybody submitted to Ms. Miller, I think. Somebody in the hotels. And so the other thing I want to talk about is public comment before we get into this. And this is both at the committee level and at the full commission. So the way I'm going to handle public comment at the full commission is before we take action on a non-administrative item, we will allow public comment on that limited to that specific item. We're going to do that every time we vote on something substantive. So if there's a motion today to review the complaints committee's recommended changes in the procedure, we'll allow limited public comment on that before we actually take a vote. If we wanted to take action on any of the ordinances that are in new business, we would allow public comment before we take action on those. In addition, we're going to allow general public comment at the end of the meeting, and that's whatever the public wants to talk to us about. Sometimes there's more people here, sometimes there's nobody here. And so that we're going to do every meeting. At the committee level, I would like all of the committees to offer public comment at the conclusion of the committee meeting. So at the conclusion of the committee meeting, the committees should offer public comment. The committees do not need to offer per item public comment because they don't have the authority to actually take action. Right? So the committees cannot in and of themselves take action. And so you don't have, as for the committee chairs, you do not have to allow per item public comment at the committees as long as you offer it at the end of the meeting. If there's only limited people there and you have plenty of time, go ahead. But all the committees should offer closing public comment. At the commission, will offer what I'm calling public participation and public comment. The committees do not need to offer public participation. Does that seem to satisfy our requirements as well?
Yes.
Okay. So there should be at least two opportunities to provide comment at once at the committee level and at least once at the full commission level. So that's public comment. The committees, you'll have your committee assignments. Ms. Schmidt, I've asked you to, and feel free to say no if you want, to serve on both complaints and legislative, because I think one person should be on both of those, although they are the two most time-intensive committees. Is that okay?
Yes, it is.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So these are the committee assignments. I'm going to go through kind of briefly what I would like to see out of the committees, and then what I'd like to do is have in the February, for February, we're not going to meet as a full commission. We're going to meet in early March, but I'd like all of the committees to meet in February and form your goals and talk about what you guys want to accomplish at a committee level, keeping in mind our charge under the charter. And so the complaints committee most often meets in shade meetings. They don't often meet in the public. And that's by Florida statutes. That's not just by choice. They're required to meet in the shade. And so the complaints committee rarely has noticed public meetings, but they always have business to attend to. And so they can set a meeting, and we'll probably just set one at the end of the day here today before we leave. The legislative committee should meet in the public and should set a meeting in, and that's Ms. Gowner's chair, should set a meeting in February. That meeting has there's a lot you can accomplish in that committee, and my advice that I'm positive Ms. Love would agree with if she were here is don't bite off more than you can chew. You may think that you want to revise the entire ethics code, but it's actually really hard to do. So I think start by thinking about what you actually want to accomplish and then try to bite off manageable chunks, work with OGC and the different decision makers in the city to make that happen. There is one outstanding matter that was referred to the legislative committee from a complaint last year, and the ethics office can kind of brief you guys on that when you get to legislative. That's about who has a duty to cooperate with the investigations. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So that's legislative. Internal operations is going to be led by Ms. Love this year. And they met the minutes we approved that I went back and listened to from 2017 had some great ideas for amending some obsolete provisions in our internal operating procedures. And I hope they will actually go make those changes that were talked about 2 years ago. And then open government, Ms. Smith will lead. Work with the ethics office on the trainings that they have. So that, make sure that covered everything in the notes. All right. Any questions about committee assignments or committee operations, anything like that? I know this meeting seems awfully administrative, but it sort of is getting all this in place and then when we come back in March, we'll talk at a much higher level about strategic goals and the more fun stuff, but we'll get this out of the way. Ms. Nolan?
I just had one comment on the duties of the commission. You have in front of you the charter, section 1.202, and that is definitely the ruling authority for what your duties are. The city council in the ordinance can actually expand upon that. And there's one duty that I think is interesting, and it says that if there's an ethics issue or something of importance in the community that you want to comment on, not a particular person or a case, but if something's going on like a transparency issue, you can discuss that and you can make recommendations to the administration. And so sometimes that happens, you see something in the paper and you go, well, that's interesting, we should be doing something about that. Let's put that on the agenda and let's talk about it. Is there some legislation? Is there someone in the city that should come and talk to us about that? Because you act sort of as the conscience for the community on ethics matters. So I think that's one, I was really pleased when that was put in by the city council, so just want to remind everybody to kind of add that on. It should have been in the charter, you know, when this was drafted, we should put that in because I think it's a wonderful opportunity when you see something to be able to act on it and not just focus narrowly in on your duties.
No, that's a good point. So what's in the charter is a minimum, and the city council has given us some additional stuff that's in the ordinance code, but not in the charter. Any other discussion about committee administration? Anything like that? Okay. So then let's review the recommendation we have from the complaints committee, which are these revised complaint procedures. The first thing I want to point out, I just saw one sort of screener's error. And if you could turn to Rule 5, which if you have the abridged version that was sent out, which just has the amendments, that is the third page where it says Rule 5. In the revisions where it says when complaints are made against, that are made should be removed. There's a double verb. So it should be when complaints are made against multiple individuals involving a common question of law or fact are simultaneously pending. There's two verbs there. Anything's fine. So the when complaints are made against should just be when complaints against. The are made should be removed from 5H and 5I. Does anybody have any other questions, discussion about these proposed changes? For background, for the people who are newer, we basically rewrote these procedures at the end of 2017, and these changes are relatively minor housekeeping items that we discovered in our first year operating under the rewritten rules. So for the most part, they're administrative. Any discussion?
Just okay. A comment that actually it was your chair, Joe Rogan, who rewrote these rules. And you know how in every group it's hard to get someone to focus in on rewriting 20 pages of internal operating rules. And Joe is fresh on the commission, and he hunkered down and went through line by line and coordinated all of these rules. It was an amazing feat. And then after last year when we ran several cases through, to then go in and fine-tune it again was just a wonderful thing. So
it was too much fun.
Yeah.
All right, is there a motion to approve or reject the Complaints Committee's recommendations?
Move to approve the recommendations.
Okay. Is that with the two changes that I...
Yes. All right.
Is there a second on that motion? And with that said, first we will take limited public participation on these complaints procedures. We'll allow 1 minute, Mr. Nooney, if you'd like it. Okay? So there is no public comment for this item. And is there any discussion regarding these before we take a vote? All right. Hearing none, we'll take the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? All right. Those are approved unanimously. We already talked about, so this would be the time in our meeting when we would take committee reports, but the legislative committee we already talked about, open government and internal operations obviously don't have reports since those people aren't here anymore. So that will take us to new business. Who would like to brief us on 2019, wherever you want to start?
I'll start. 2019-19 is a bill, and I have a one-page summary. I am the queen of one-page summaries and things. If you could just pass this down, thank you. Nope, you don't want to offer it. I just did that this afternoon. Okay, so I just wanted to brief you. When City Council sponsors any bills related to transparency or ethics, we obviously are on top of it. We get copies of it, and we let you know what's going on. Sometimes you take a position on it, sometimes you don't. Let me explain the bill that Councilmember Gulliford has filed, 2019-19. If you take a look at my one page I just handed out, typically now if you go to a City Council meeting, the first thing is they call the meeting to order. They go down a whole lot of different business items, and then number 21 on their schedule, comments from the public. When it says comments from the public, this means you can talk about anything, abortion, gun control, what's going on in Washington. You know, it's like open mic night. You can say whatever you want. That is comments from the public, number 21. Then, number 22, scheduled public hearings. Scheduled public hearings are required by Florida law on every bill that's presented to City Council. And this is like people may have never been to City Council, but an issue has come up for zoning in their neighborhood, or we've had some issues with ethics. And so the Ethics Commission members want to go and they want to speak on that particular bill. So the way it is now, the scheduled public hearings, number 22, comes after all of the comments from the public that can run like an hour, hour and a half, or whatever, and then the people that have one bill that they want to speak on wait until all that is over. Then there's new business. Then number 24, there's a second period of comments from the public. So the public on the general open mic type comments, they have two opportunities, but if they speak at one, they can't speak at the other, so they get one shot really to talk about whatever they want to talk about. So the bill would change the order to where you call it to order, and really in the beginning of the meeting, you do your scheduled public hearings on specific bills. So like if we were there to discuss an ethics bill or some neighbors were there to talk about a neighborhood bill, their issue and their right to comment to the council would come up first, and they wouldn't have to wait until the end of the meeting to comment. And then council business is on after that, and then comments from the public are still there, but you notice that instead of two separate times, it's only one time now at the end of the meeting. So that's basically the proposal in Councilmember Gulliford's bill.
Am I seeing this right, that the public hearing will move up, will be earlier?
Yes.
But then public comment, you'll have to wait till the end?
Yes.
Okay. I think my understanding is that this, it used to be the way that it's being proposed to be changed to, is that right?
Yes.
And that this second period of comment was added, I think, in 2009?
Yes, and there's also, I think, a review done of what other cities in Florida are doing. All cities in Florida have scheduled public hearings because you have to on every bill have a scheduled public hearing. Many cities don't have the general public comment. They just, you don't have to by Florida law, they don't do it.
Don't do it at all?
They don't do it at all.
And we do it twice?
We do it twice. Now, proposed to doing it once. Some cities in Florida, City Council did a study on this. Some cities say if you've commented three times during the year, that's it. You can't comment any more than that. So they limit the number of times a particular person can speak. So I would say that of cities in Florida, the way we have it now is probably definitely one of the more liberal cities. I don't know anyone that gives more comment than we do, and many give less. This just changes the order around so that the people that have specific issues are heard first instead of after the general public comments. So, summary.
For you.
Any discussion?
Oh, and I wanted to say that Councilmember Gulliford, you invited him to come to the meeting tonight. He had a conflict, but he said that he knew that I would explain the bill. And, you know, I tried to summarize it for you so you understand what he's trying to do, but he thanked you for inviting him to the meeting.
And did he have, is that just what he wanted to explain?
Yeah. What I just explained.
Does Zach have a position on this bill?
Pardon me?
Do you guys have a position on this bill?
My personal position is I've waited there when the Ethics Commission, when I finally wrestle enough members of the Ethics Commission to come and speak, and they want to speak on a particular bill and they have to wait until the end of the meeting. And I find that if we want more public participation, we want citizens coming out, I think that this order will encourage that.
The proposed order?
The proposed bill.
You think it would encourage more comment?
Yeah.
Oh, because it moves public hearings up, that's what you're saying?
Right.
Okay, I hadn't thought about that. All right.
Yep. Is there any restriction on the amount of time someone can speak?
There always is. It's usually 3 minutes.
Is that the discretion of the council chair so they can change it depending on the meeting?
Right. If they had, like, the human rights ordinance, they had about 1,000 people that wanted to comment, so they limited, I think it was to 1 minute. They can do that, but usually it's 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on 2019-19?
So I just wanted you to be briefed on that one. And then the next one
54.
Is 2019-54. This one was introduced by Councilmember Schellenberg, and it came up a year and a half ago, and your chair spoke against the bill a year and a half ago. Matt Carlucci from the State Ethics Commission spoke against it.
He was the then chair of the State Ethics Commission.
Right. And it was withdrawn. Mm-hmm. When a bill is withdrawn in City Council, you can't bring it up again for a year. It's been a year and a half, and now this is up again. So I imagine that the Ethics Commission probably has the same...
You want to explain what this is?
Yeah. Basically, when you... were all appointed to the Ethics Commission. As soon as you get appointed, you serve. Now, for most of you, you were appointed as of January 1st of this year, and you were confirmed by the City Council in December. So it worked out nicely. January 1st comes, you're already confirmed by council, and you serve. But we have some people, like let's say...
me?
Amon.
Amon.
Right. Where your seat is vacant and you get appointed and you start to serve immediately. We put in the bill so that the City Council confirmed you, but you serve before the City Council confirmed you. Why is that? We're the only board in the city like that. The reason for that, and I conceptually it's a little difficult here, like why are we different? Why are we different? Because we're independent. And we actually can rule on cases involving City Council members. So in some cities around the country, when you get appointed on the Ethics Commission, outside groups appoint you, like League of Women Voters or the Bar Association, and you serve immediately with no City Council confirmation. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, they don't get to confirm you because you hear cases against them, you know, and you pick independent groups to nominate people. So that was discussed 20 years ago, and then 15 years ago, and revisions went in, like, how is this going to work? And so I propose the more liberal viewpoint, which is outside groups appoint you, and you serve immediately without City Council confirmation. The other extreme that some cities do is the City Council appoints everybody. They just pick people they know, and they put them in, and there's no public discussion, so that's on one end. And what we struck was a balance in the middle, which is you all come from different appointing authorities, three of you from the Ethics Commission and then various other groups. You serve immediately upon appointment if your seat is vacant. You serve, and then about 2 months later, your City Council confirmation process confirms you. Now, there is a chance, and it's happened twice, where the City Council, in that process, things came out, and the person withdrew their name and they weren't confirmed. We've had at least maybe 40, 50 other people where that hasn't happened. I guess in discussing this with Councilmember Schellenberg, I asked him his thinking was, what was the problem? And he didn't have anything in particular. I said, it has not been a problem because now we, in advance, have everybody approved by city council before your day even starts. You never want to have a thing like, let's say we have a chair of the rules committee that has to approve of you, and we know in a shade meeting that we have a complaint against the chair. And so he just holds up your confirmation, you know, and can delay it so that there isn't a quorum, or that someone else could be put on the commission. There's a chance for manipulation. That has never happened, and I don't anticipate that it ever would. Just like I don't anticipate any problem with you all serving immediately. So it would not be the end of the world if this passed. On the other hand, whenever there's an erosion of the independence of the Ethics Commission, it is always something that we should take seriously and discuss. So I hope that clarified like why. We don't want to have city council appoint everybody. We compromised that they would be able to give you the final approval. And I think that was a good compromise. And we never had a problem with it.
I think that the state required confidentiality of our complaints is what makes this bill particularly problematic. We are not allowed to disclose the existence or the respondents of the complaints that are pending before us, but yet some of the people over whom we have jurisdiction would then have the authority to prohibit new members from serving on the commission. I mean, for example, to keep the ideological slant a certain way or to prevent it from changing. A good example is that as of January 1st, this commission would have lost a quorum. I mean, we turned over 5 members. And so if those 5 members could not have served until confirmed, mm-hmm. there was a potential of probably keeping from the commission from meeting at all. Mm-hmm. And that would be a big problem. It's like Ms. Miller said, I don't think it's the end of the world if this particular bill passed, but last year we reviewed an issue that came up with the Florida Commission on Ethics, where the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House had asked for more input into their budget process. That's to kind of put it lightly what they asked for. But and what Matt Carlucci came, who was then the chairman, and said, this is the first step in a sort of a slippery slope of problematic behavior of the people that we are supposed to govern having more influence over the commission that is supposed to be governing them. And so I think this bill is problematic. I asked the bill sponsor for a meeting and didn't get a response. I invited the bill sponsor for this meeting and didn't get a response. I wish that weren't the case.
Although the bill sponsor has indicated that he does intend to withdraw the bill, mm-hmm. but it has not been done yet.
Is there any discussion about this? Any questions?
Do you think we should take a formal position or wait to see if he withdraws?
Up to you, Chair. I believe it's coming up. It was introduced on the 19th, February 19th. And so we wouldn't be having
January 19th?
No, February 19th.
No, February is not ready.
January 19th, introduced? Or is it going to be introduced?
It was introduced January 22nd at council, and it wouldn't be at the first rules meeting the first week of February. It'd be in the second rules meeting.
So he couldn't actually withdraw it from council until the 5th, right?
He could withdraw it.
Yeah,
back
he could
at
move.
Point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. at the next city council meeting, he could move to withdraw it.
The next city council meeting hasn't happened yet, right?
No.
So he couldn't have yet withdrawn it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, he could have.
Yeah, but then. The next city council meeting is February 12th? 12th?
The 12th. Second
12th.
Week?
Second
Tuesday?
I think it is 12th.
It's going to come up at rules on the 19th of February.
Okay. But he could on the February 12th city council meeting, he could move to withdraw it.
He could.
Maybe he will and maybe he won't.
And then that way it doesn't have to go to...
Well, then, so the risk here is in coming out too strong about this and just creating a polarizing conversation when maybe he would otherwise... The bill sponsor would otherwise have just withdrawn the bill, and we turn this into something political. So there's the balance, but I defer to you guys.
So just because I don't think I completely understand the city council process, if he does not withdraw the bill, then we could move forward. We still could come out. And
when is it set for public hearing?
The public hearing was when it was introduced on January 22nd.
No, the public hearing would be at the second council meeting on February 12th. It would go before rules for discussion on the 19th, and then it would go, presumably, if it passed out of rules, to the council for final action on February 26th. The caveat, or to answer your question, comment, Ms. Schmidt, about if rules, if it comes out of rules, you could still do something, that is true, but you would have a limited time to do it.
We'd have between the 19th and the 26th.
That's correct. You would have between the 19th and the 26th.
That's not a good time to try to start lobbying on a bill. It's either before the 19th or not at all.
Well, what I would suggest, if it, maybe we get everybody's view on this, is you could authorize me to represent the commission's view that this bill should not pass, and I can convey that. And if it seemed like we actually needed some formal resolution, we could try to get a quorum together and meet right before the rules. Because really, when you want to voice that opposition is if we pass February 12th and the bill has not been withdrawn, which means it's going to come up for a vote at rules on the 19th, that would be the time, I think. Right?
Yes, but I think that my feeling is that he wants to discuss it at rules on the 19th and then withdraw on the 19th.
That's fine. Thoughts?
No, the only thing that I would share is we by the ethics office, were asked some information about a former person's appointment way back in the day to figure out if it impacted the legislation. So, and it didn't, but for whatever point of information that might be worth to you.
I think it'll work out. And I think that if the chair is authorized to speak on the 19th, and I'll reach out to Matt Carlucci, since he came and spoke before as chairman of the Florida Ethics Commission, if he wouldn't mind coming again, if it comes up on the 19th.
Well, it's up to the group. What do you guys want to do, if anything? Any other discussion, any motions?
I move that we appoint Joe Rogan as our representative to discuss this with Mr. Schellenberg.
Is your position that is your motion that the commission would take the position to oppose this bill?
Correct.
I second that, yes.
Okay.
And the Rules Committee, not just to talk to the council member, but also the rules.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
Did you second that motion?
I will.
Okay. First, we'll allow limited public comment on this if there is any. Is there any? We'll limit this to 1 minute. And it's limited to 2019-54.
All right, John Nooney, address is on file. Yeah, you know, I would just hope that you would just take it up and, you know, take a look. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to different meetings, and you know, there's 19 other council members. You know, legislation, believe it or not, even though you think, you know, you're talking through it, like how this is going to happen. This is going to happen. He'll be here. He's coming in. You know, so you don't. We don't have to do anything, and let someone else, you know, take the fall on it. And that's why you're here. You know, to make those decisions. So, and I personally have seen that stuff. I can't tell you how I went to rules, and again, just the procedures, and this was months. And because I showed up, you know what? Stuff got deferred. The first time I missed a meeting, hey, they took it up. I'm telling you, that stuff happens. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? All right, the motion passes unanimously. Move on to the reviewing State Ethics Commission legislative recommendations for 2019. Who's going to? All right, Ms. Miller, go ahead.
There was an article, I believe, that you were sent on State Ethics Commission proposals. Every year, the State Ethics Commission gets together their key points that they want to convince the Florida legislature to make changes in the state ethics laws. And this year, we have a memorandum of the five things that they think are really important to get passed at the state level. Now, what do we do with this as the local ethics commission? Two things. First of all, we can come out in support of some of these things. We can take a look at it. This is something that needs more discussion than we can do tonight. It would be something legislative would take care of. But we take a look at these and we'd say, is this something that as the commission we want to recommend that the Jacksonville Ethics Commission is in favor of this? We send it up to the state and they actually present that to the Florida legislature. 1 year there was a really important transparency bill, and it was not looking good as far as not only this bill eliminating the state ethics commission, but also reaching down and limiting what we could do at the local level. And we found out about it a few weeks before it was set to pass. And I'll never forget, like, the representative calling me up, and he said, I'm answering your phone call about this bill. And he said, well, let me just tell you, this is passing. Mm-hmm. This bill is passing. And I said, but you didn't have any of the input from any of the local ethics commissions on this bill. Mm-hmm. It was like, listen, it's passing. 3 weeks later, the bill was withdrawn, and it did not pass. The League of Women Voters and all the state ethics, local ethics commissions in the state got together. And, so we joined up with the Miami Ethics Commission, the Fort Lauderdale Ethics Commission, Palm Beach, Tallahassee. And so when we get together as all the local ethics commissions, it can make a very big impact at the state level. So what I would recommend in these particular five...
lost Mary, then? Yeah, we did.
I'll get her back on. So that's one reason. Do we want to support the State Ethics Commission and join with other local ethics commissions? The second reason is sometimes the state proposes these things, and they've got like a snowball's chance in Florida of passing at the state level. But we take a look at it and we say, that's a really good idea. We can do that at the local level. We can extend the law in the local level. There's one here, number one, conflicts of interest with subcontractors, which is one of the biggest loopholes in state conflict law. And they're trying to get it reversed. I don't think it's going to happen this year in the Florida legislature, but I think that we could actually make that happen here in Jacksonville, which would be very interesting. So anyhow, I'll discuss this more with the legislative subcommittee, and I just wanted to alert you to these issues and what we do with the state's agenda.
Any discussion? All right, I'm going to refer this to Ms. Gowner and her committee for review. And we'll move on to the final report of the Task Force on Open Government. Whoever's taking that?
I believe Carla asked me to handle that. This relates to a report that Carla had circulated to you all by email, I think a little bit ago, but essentially back in March of 2018, then Council President Roche created a task force, by approval of Council, created a task force on open government to look at an in-depth review of the legislative process and the methods that the public uses to access government here in the city. The task force was asked to make recommendations for how the city can be more open and accessible, and the methods used to institutionalize transparency. Throughout its three-month tenure, the task force held 10 meetings and heard from 23 people from diverse backgrounds and various presentations. And then as a result of that, per its charge, the task force issued its final report at the end of June, and it had 14 specific findings relating to difficulty by citizens and understanding the legislative process, and participating in committee and council meetings, and understanding the city's budget process and priorities, navigating the city's website, and accessing public records. And as a result of that, they made 19 different recommendations that might be of interest to the legislative committee.
Okay. Any discussion? Any questions? Okay. Second time in a row, we'll refer that to legislative. Yes.
Can we all get a copy of the 19 recommendations just for our own information?
Absolutely. I'm happy to provide you the summary that I have. It's also in the task force report itself that you should have, but I'll recirculate the task force report with this summary of the 19. I just didn't want to take too much time reading them.
Thank you.
One thing I should have said when we talked about committees, anybody is welcome to attend any of the committee meetings. The only exception to that is when the complaints committee meets in executive session, or shade meeting, you're not welcome to attend that. But otherwise, you're welcome to attend and encourage you to attend any of the other committee meetings. Participate as much as you can. What's next? Financial incentives voted by City Council?
That was an issue that you raised, I believe.
This is the, okay. Did we circulate those materials?
We did.
Okay. So the issue here, and I just wanted to talk about this a little bit after there was a front or close to front page article about this. The City Council considers and votes on projects using pseudonyms, right? And so it would be Project whatever, Project Arrowhead, Project Vulcan, or whatever it is. And the substantive information about the bid is available to the council members before they vote. Who knows whether all of them go? I mean, I can only assume that most of them do and understand what these projects are before they vote. Some may not. But the public certainly doesn't know. I don't have it in front of me, but these projects range from, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to multi-million dollars. And my question was sort of whether that's consistent with public records laws and sunshine at the state level. And the answer to that, for the most part, is that there's a public records exemption for trade secrets. Now, there's a recent opinion out of one of the district courts of appeal in Florida that would suggest that the name of an entity is not a trade secret. Right? The fact that Amazon is participating in a bid is not itself a trade secret. That decision came out of South Florida, and it was about Uber. And what they said was that Uber, how many trips or how many times Uber picked up passengers was not a trade secret. The underlying how they assign riders to cars, maybe that is. Maybe that's closer to the secret sauce, the mm-hmm. trade secret. But it's not just the fact that Uber is operating is not a trade secret. This is something I wanted to point out just because it was on our local news and because our still current council president is also the president of JAX USA, which is our chamber arm that does business development. And so there's a little bit of an appearance of a conflict when you have these operating these contracts under pseudonyms. My view is that I think a lot of this is really about public records exemptions and public records laws. Our legislative committee could decide to look into this if they wanted to, but it's not directly an issue under our ethics code, which is really the point I wanted to make, although it is an issue of public records laws and sunshine generally, which the legislative committee either could consider or doesn't have to. Are there any discussion, any comments about that? Okay. That was all I wanted to say about that. Echo annual housekeeping items.
Just two things that are in the process of being finished up. You'll get them by email probably within the next week or so. The annual report for 2018 summarizing all the good things that were done last year, including the highest ever number of complaints processed by the commission. So well done. It'll be a good report from the Ethics Commission. And also, every year the chair of the commission does an outgoing evaluation of me and my performance as director, so you'll be getting that. That's it.
Okay. 4 months?
Yes. So your form, as members of the Ethics Commission, you have a duty to file Form 1 Limited Financial Disclosure. We're happy to announce that all new members have filed that, so thank you very much. You're good for this year. For those members who are returning, you also have an obligation to file a Form 1 by July 1st of this year, and I know Mr. Rogan has already filed his. You may have, we just haven't checked on that.
It's for calendar year 2018, due by July 1st, 2019.
Right.
They all blur together.
Yes. So just a reminder of the obligation that if you're returning, you have to file it by July 1st, 2019.
So all the new members have filed?
All the new members have filed.
And have you filed, Dr. Kim?
I have no idea. I'm concerned. I don't recall anything else.
He has for last year.
Yeah, for 2018?
For 2017, which was due July of 2018.
Right.
And so he'll have another 6 months or so.
Do you know when Ms. Lovis filed?
I do not.
Okay. All right. We'll make sure we're in 100% compliance. If we're not, then we certainly can't expect anybody else to be. Training or whatever this is on ADA, human rights, and restrictions on campaign activities.
Yeah, we had a very interesting training session. It wasn't all of the things that we train boards and commissions on, so to be fair, I want to make sure we at least touch on those areas. And we have three to talk with you about. One is human rights. And I say this because we have a training on what to do if some someone on the commission says something inappropriate. Shocking to think that that could ever happen. Any comments that make everybody cringe, it actually, we're the poster child for this happening. Because we had a meeting one time where one of our members made a statement that no one spoke for about 30 seconds, and we had about 8 lawyers in the room and the Times Union, and it was a remark made by a 92-year-old woman that was a colloquial expression from her age, but a racist expression in our age. And so for 30 seconds, no one said anything, and then the chair just kind of went on with the meeting. And nobody knew what to do. Later on, someone said, we should strike the record. You can't strike a public record. So what do you do if someone says something? And she ended up resigning the next day. A wonderful woman, you know, just... she's now deceased. She was very much loved by the commission. She made a mistake. So what happens if someone makes a racial comment, a sexual comment, you know? And so we brought in the head of human rights for the city. And we said, what do you do if you're in a group like that and you've got a bunch of lawyers and all that? We were just thinking of all the law connected to it. We couldn't think past that. And she said that what she trains people to do all over the city, and we train all of our boards and commissions, is something that if someone's offended by something or thinks a remark was inappropriate, that the person who feels offended should say, ouch, or that was not good, ouch, that didn't hit me right, or whatever you want to say, but to actually have a conversation in the group about it and work it out. Which I think is a challenge, because we all froze and, we thought of great things the next day to do, but we didn't think of anything in the meeting. So if perchance, I can't imagine with this group that would ever come up, but if it ever did, and certainly even the public commenting, anything like that is offensive to people, we don't tolerate that in City Hall. So that is the training on human rights from Charlene, who heads up the human rights, that you don't put things, shove them under the carpet, that you actually bring them out and resolve it with the group. The other thing I just wanted to touch on is we have internal rules. It's the internal operating procedures. Yeah. We had some questions from members about, gosh, I'm on the Ethics Commission now, the local elections are coming up. I'm being asked to participate. What can I do and not do as an Ethics Commission member? And we have an internal operating rule on that members shall not use their position in any manner that decreases public trust or gives the appearance of impropriety. Any commission member who files to be a candidate immediately resigns, and we've had that happen, people resigning to run for judge. No individual in the commission shall hold or campaign for any elected political office or allow his or her name and title as a commission member to be used by a campaign. So you can participate in campaigns, you can support people, but if they do a whole list of here are my supporters, and it's Joe Rogan, chair of the Ethics Commission, would not be okay. They can't use your position as an Ethics Commission member. You'd want to, like, if anybody says, oh, you just got appointed, you know, that looks really good that the Ethics Commission support. No, you got to nix that type of thing. And, of course, you can always sign petitions for referendums, ballot questions. You can contribute. You've got First Amendment rights. You know, go for it. Just don't let your position be used. No campaign contributions, no campaigning, nothing in City Hall on city property. So if you meet someone and they say, by the way, I'm running, I want to talk to you about my campaign, take it to Hemming Plaza. You know, do not do anything in City Hall. No campaigning and no contributions in City Hall. So that's basically any questions on, you'll know it if someone comes and you feel like they're kind of using your title for their own political purposes. So just make sure that, I don't know how that worked with your wife. Did she mention that you were a member of the Ethics Commission?
She
She didn't mention me too much.
He is now the spouse
of South Jack's Beach.
Yes, because Georgette is now a city commissioner.
City council,
yeah. Any questions?
I did. So for further clarification, we could say Joe Rogan just citizen listed, but not the position.
Right.
Yes. The caution I would give to everybody, especially if you're new to this commission, is that remember that you have jurisdiction over all city employees and all city board members, right, even volunteer board members. And so you have to be really careful if you're going to get involved in substantive campaigning and fundraising, because if you're asking, if you're a member of the Ethics Commission, and you should go read the revised misuse of position laws that we just changed and strengthened significantly last year. And there's a real issue if you're asking somebody over whom you have fining authority to contribute to another city official's campaign. And so you really got to be careful about the campaigning stuff. And yes, you could use your name. You could be on a host committee if you want to be. But you have an affirmative duty to have your title removed. And so if somebody says, Joseph Rogan, Chair Ethics Commission, I have to go to them and get them to take it off. And so it's a little bit of a balance when you have citywide jurisdiction if you're getting involved in campaigns.
And the other danger area is asking people for money, because you can support people, you can send them a check as a contribution, but going around and being on a fundraising committee, when you don't know the people that you're asking money for, are they lobbyists for the city? Could you have jurisdiction over them? Other attorneys could be lobbyists. So asking for money always gets into the gray area where you're more at risk.
And just to add to Joe's point, it's also something that we are cognizant of in the ethics office. And last fall, I got a telephone call from someone that I know who was running statewide as attorney general soliciting a campaign contribution and support. And I had to tell that person, I cannot, for my own thing, for my job, I do not donate to political campaigns. And the person said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you worked in the mayor's office. I'm like, no, I work in the ethics office, but I don't do that. So it's something that we are aware of as well in the office.
And when I took this job, I changed my registration to independent because I didn't want to be identified with either party. Mm-hmm. Not that you guys need to do that, but I felt like nobody should be able to say that we're prejudiced in any way. So just use your good sense. And so that's the two things. And Kirby's just going to tell you something briefly on ADA, and that covers three parts of your training that we didn't cover last month.
Are there, before we do that, are there any questions or comments on campaign activities? I know we're coming up on that season, so I want to make sure if there are any questions or concerns, we address that right now. No? Good. Okay. ADA?
Okay. Wonderful. So part of our board training that we train other boards and commission members in the city on is compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Until just recently, the city was under a consent decree with the Department of Justice for ADA-related issues, and that's one of the reasons why the front entrance on Duval Street was blocked off for a period of almost a year, where they were widening the ramps to allow access. And this is actually an issue, anecdotally, that came up when we were doing boards and commissions training. There was a member of the Mayor's Council on Disabilities came to our board's training and asked for large font handouts. It was a person with a visual impairment. And I didn't have large font handouts. And I started freaking out, like, oh my God, I violated the ADA. I don't have large font handouts. So luckily, the chief of disabled services was actually at the training at that time, and she knew the person because she served on the council with them. And she came over and she said, Mr. So-and-so, you know the rule about accommodations? The notice said you could request in advance. Did you let them know you were coming? And he said, no, I didn't. She goes, come on, Joe, that's the reason why we have that. You got to let them know in advance. And so luckily she was able to calm me down and just say, now, when you get back to the office, take down Mr. Joe's email address, create the large font handouts, and email them to him, and that will be sufficient. And then just keep them on hand for later use. But we just want to make everyone aware that as a member of a board commission, you are required to comply with the ADA. And so you may at times have persons with disabilities that come to your meetings. And so we will, as a staff, help to keep an eye on this issue and make sure that you're complying, but you do have an obligation to do so. So if somebody has a visual impairment and they need something in Braille or large font handouts, we have an obligation to provide that to them, particularly if they have requested so in advance. We do work closely with the Chief of Disabled Services, Kevin McDaniel, and his office in conjunction with our board training, so we can always reach out to them as well. There's two other parts to that. The first is that all your notices for the Ethics Commission have to have the accommodation language on it. So we make sure that that happens, and we actually make sure other boards and commissions in the city are complying with that as well. And we've had to tell two people recently, like, you need to add that to your notice, it's missing. So that's really important. And then the last thing is that they like for us to point out, and this is actually in your handbook that was passed out at the training on January 9th. It's page 12. And it's a handout that we got there that says first people first language, and in essence what it does is it tries to educate boards and commission members on how to properly communicate with persons with disabilities by putting the focus on the person and not on the disability. So if somebody has a disability, you wouldn't say, oh, the handicapped or the disabled, you'd say a person's with disability. If somebody had a visual impairment, you wouldn't say he or she is blind, you would just say a person with visual impairment.
And it's really impressive with the city. If we had someone that came to this meeting that was in a wheelchair and had a dog to assist them, spoke Russian, and they were blind, we would have someone here from the city to translate everything into Russian Braille. It is unbelievable, you know, so everybody has access to the meetings. So it's quite impressive what they do.
So one other thing, if you get a request for accommodation, please let us know for sure so we can make sure that that's in public.
Any questions or comments? All right. Let's move on to general public comment. Mr. Nuni, if you have anything, we'll give you 3 minutes.
Just a point of order, 2019-19, did you vote on that, or did you lump that together with 54?
I'm going to start your public comment if you're ready.
John Nuni, address on file. You know, Jax, it ain't easier here. You know, as far as, you know, public comment, 2019-19, you know, there was 2019-895. Government watcher meetings, you know, for almost two decades, there was always two periods of public comment. Then it was reduced to one. Then it got put back to two. Now we're going to just, you know, reduce it down to one again. And let me just say, you know, it's really embarrassing. I mean, there's nobody here. I mean, these meetings are empty. So, you know, when I go to the city hall, and first of all, I hope you don't, I wish you had taken a vote on 2019-19, you know, because you specifically told me to speak to 54, you know, and I only had a minute. And so, anyway, you know, just going forward, I mean, I just believe the public trust is just getting crushed. I really do. I've just got so many examples, you know, just being intimidated in so many different ways of like, why are you even showing up, or, you know, just, but anyway, you know, taking away free speech is the worst thing we could be doing at these meetings. You know, whether you agree or not, you know, two periods is really good, and before the public hearings, if you're sitting in the audience, miss that first period of public comment. You listen to the fills, and at the end of the meeting, you may want to comment on that particular bill that you just heard, because your opportunities to participate are extremely limited. I can tell you, even with council members, I've gone 8 years without even a returned email, phone call. Just dozens of examples of that stuff. That's why I'm here. That's why a lot of people just show up, because you get crushed, you know, in some of these other places. So anyway, what I will be doing, and also too, just look at the city council meetings, WJCT, they used to broadcast it, you see the building. You know, right now, you know, on my phone, you know, I used to be able to see streaming city council meetings online, now I can't. I don't know if that just recently happened, but that's a concern. You know, I turn on the TV, there's a lot of times I'll go and just turn on the TV, and, you know, all of a sudden you can't watch it for some reason. So, you know, people just aren't being aware of just what's really taking place, and it's really scary. So the other thing I'm just going to do is, you know, while I'm waiting the public hearing, I'll fill out every speaker card. I'll have, what do you think, the meetings will get shorter? They should get longer. And we should invite every high school, every college. You want practice, you know, in public speaking? Come to City Council. Because we crushed 2019-19. All right, thank you for listening.
Thank you. All right, let's schedule some meetings. The first thing I want to do is let the committee chair schedule their February meetings while we have everybody here. Doing this by email, we're subject to the Sunshine Law. It just gets really hard to schedule when we're not all here, so let's just do it. So, Ms. Schmidt, you're going to schedule an executive session of the Complaints Committee?
Just Wednesday, February 13th, work for anybody in the afternoon.
I guess you're just with Ms. Dixon, and then we'll just see if Ms. Love's available later.
What is your day like? Would that be okay if we did it in the later part of the afternoon, JJ?
Yes.
Is that good for you guys, the 13th?
The 13th?
Of February?
Yes. Oh, I heard the 15th.
Oh, Wednesday afternoon. I was saying, I apologize.
That's good.
I look free anytime after 2, but I'm fine with like 4:30 or 5 to finish up a work day.
I'm fine the whole afternoon, so it's up to you and JJ.
The only thing that I would say is I think we'll also have an open meeting with that as well to discuss a potential change to the complaint procedures regarding the computation of time.
Okay.
If that at all impacts your decision, when to schedule it.
How about 2:30 to 3:30?
So they're saying it's your decision, but they would like you to have an open meeting first and then a closed meeting?
Or reverse, it doesn't matter.
Let's do 2:30 to 3:30 for the open meeting. And then if we need to have additional business in private, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll notice it as starting at 2:30 for the open meeting, but we're not going to put an end time on it because
right.
You may get done faster.
Yes, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I suspect it'll take about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so complaints 2:13 at 2:30?
Assuming Ms. Love is available.
Okay.
You can set it either way. Mm-hmm.
Or she can call in.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, legislative, Ms. Gowner.
Pick a date?
Sure.
Okay. What time do you guys usually do them? Late afternoon?
Depends on the group, you know.
Right.
A lot of people like them at 4 or 4:30, end of the day.
I think last year it was Mary Bland, Michelle Barnett, and me, and so we were all downtown. It was easy for us to schedule them at like 1, but most people like them in the afternoon.
I'm available February 21st, really anytime.
Afternoon is good for us. We have a board training from like 12 to 1:30, so like 2, anytime after 2 would be good for us, so it's just up to you guys.
The 21st, I have a trial, so that would not be good for me at all in the afternoon. On the
Sherry 21st. Has a conflict on the 21st. She has a trial.
Are you out the whole week?
No, just that day.
Oh.
Yeah, the problem is I have afternoon court every day other than that. So I guess let's go to the week before, the week of the 11th. The 12th is good. I'm really good. The 12th, 13th, or 14th.
The 13th would be good for us if we could do it later in the afternoon, because if we get everything set up for committee meetings the whole afternoon, it's good. So
that might be difficult with the shade meeting. You won't know how long the shade meeting is going to go.
It's going to be short. We don't have that much going on. They could be out by 3.
It depends on their discussion.
Because I'm on that committee as well. Do you want to do legislative at 2:30 and call that for end time and then start my committee when it's over?
Oh, yeah, it's a good idea. Flip them.
I'll flip.
Mr. Vote, are you available at 2:30 on the 13th?
I'm more so than the other days, yes.
Ms. Smith?
Yes, I'll make it work.
Okay.
2:30 legislative on the 13th.
3:30 open complaints and then going into shade.
I would have said 4 o'clock just to make it not that time.
Whatever the chair wants to do.
If you have legislative from 2:30 to 3:30, that's 1 hour. You might go 1 hour in like 10, 15 minutes. So if you had it at 4 to start complaints, it would give you a little bit of flexibility.
I blocked the whole afternoon, started at 2:30.
So legislative will start at 2:30, complaints will start at 4.
Yep.
All right. Internal ops, it's our Vice Chair, Dr. Candler.
And Carlton, my schedule is probably more open than yours. I could start as early as next week. Would you rather
just throw it out there and we'll take a look?
Actually, I've got everything. I teach at night, so everything's open. Except for Tuesday evening, I teach.
The 4th would be all right.
Fourth is good.
Okay. Fourth is not good for me.
No?
No. That's a conflict.
What about the 6th?
In the afternoon, yes.
Yeah, but it's over at 2. We can do anything past, 2:30. She's flexible. She's physically well. She's on a flexible schedule.
2:33?
How about 3 o'clock? Right?
It's been 3 o'clock the 6th of February.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And open government, Ms. Smith?
How about the week of the 18th? We have meetings on that.
Ladies, the afternoon is what we like best.
Every morning I have court, except for Fridays.
Okay.
Afternoon and Thursday morning, you have 4:10.
I'm tired. I'm telling you.
I love it. I love it.
What's your idea?
What about Monday the 4th?
So the 4th is not good for me.
I'm sorry. And we cannot double up, is that right, because of meeting states?
You can't overlap. You could go adjacent.
The staff would be with each group.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did we just schedule another one? When's internal ops?
Internal ops is on 2-6, 3 o'clock.
Okay. February 7th? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the afternoon is good. 7th?
I'm open in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
4:30?
Okay.
Let's say 4:30.
4:30 on the 7th.
Yes.
2-7, 4:30. And nominating.
If it's the same to you guys, do you mind doing 4?
Oh. And that 4 is a little bit better. 4 is a little bit better.
Just allows the staff to get out of their own time if they need to.
So 4 o'clock
so
on the 7th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's amazing. Thank you very much.
And
you know how hard it is to go back and forth with emails on this?
Yeah, this would take 150 emails. Then let's schedule the next full commission meeting. Oh, sorry, do you need to revisit that? It's okay.
Do you expect the agenda to be one?
I think it's just generally we can come with a summary of what's happened in the past and we general discussion of where you want to move during the year or so. Hourly, you should be able to handle most of these meetings.
Okay. So we'll leave that where it is. Well, let's schedule the next full commission meeting. Actually, we'll try to schedule the next few unless somebody needs to be out of here right now.
My phone's on 1%.
Oh, let's go quick then. All right. So what about the 7th of March for the next full commission meeting? 5th or the 7th?
Thursday.
Okay.
In between 3 and 6:30.
Okay. 5 o'clock on the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
That work for everybody?
Do you think we'll be done at 6? I have to be someplace else at 6:30.
I hope so.
Can we start at
4:30?
Can we?
Does that rule anybody out if we start at 4:30?
Nope.
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that okay?
Yep.
I don't mean to pressure you into these times.
That's fine.
All right. 4:30 on March 7th, we'll meet the full commission, and we'll schedule a couple more until Ellen's phone dies. Let's go to April, sometime in early April. Maybe we're on a theme now with First Thursdays, the 4th. Mm-hmm. Does that work?
5 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
April 4th?
I got a haircut.
April
4th. Oh, that's okay. Let's go to a different day.
Or I can change my haircut.
You don't have to do that. April 3rd?
In the afternoon.
5 o'clock on the 3rd?
I can make 5:15.
5:15 on the 3rd? That does put us, yeah, we'll,
I know.
We'll make it work. 5:15 on the 3rd, does that work for everybody?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
5:15, April 3rd. Are you at 0% yet?
Nope, go.
All right. May 2nd, just throwing something random out.
May 2nd?
Yeah.
I will be in a trial.
Okay, how long is that trial?
2 weeks.
So that week and the following week, or that week and the before?
It actually starts on the week of the 29th.
Okay.
Wait, what date did you say?
The 2nd of May.
Yeah, so it starts that week, and then it also goes the week of May 6th.
That's fine. What about May 16th?
May 16th, that's another day when I'm good until 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
4:30 on the 16th, going once.
4:30 on the 16th? All right. May 16th at 4:30. And for the sake of time, maybe next meeting we'll start scheduling out June, July. No,
sometimes in the summer we skip a month.
4:30 on
the 16th.
May 16th.
Signing. All right.
What day did we say?
I've been trying to do that for 2 years.
April 4th. What? April 4th. I didn't type it all.
At 5:15.
No, that was my haircut day.
I thought your haircut day was
the third. April 3rd.
Sorry, yeah. April 3rd.
I only typed in the word full because I was trying to get to the next day.
Are you writing all those? Somebody else.
No,
I love it, so that would make
yeah,
it waste time.
And Lourdes will send out a notice tomorrow confirming all the dates and times.
So proud of everybody. Okay, is there anything else?
Thank you,
all right, we are adjourned.